morning in Proverbs chapter number 14 and one verse, verse number 14. As we begin really preparing for our Wednesday Bible study, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs in a couple of weeks. This verse just jumped out at me. I think God has something for us today. I want to tell you from the very beginning, the title of this message is a very unusual title. And when you hear that title, you're going to go, what in the world is Pastor doing this morning? You just hang on as we work through these 3 points this morning. And I trust and pray. I know we don't have a bulletin this morning, but Miss Gail will be back next week and we'll be back on track again. But I encourage you to get out some notes and write down the 3 points and the short subpoints. It's kind of like a checklist, you might want to say, that I think will be a help and a blessing to you in the days and weeks to come in our Christian walk as we think about our theme of be the church in faithfulness this year. The word backslider is a word that's used only in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, if you were to run it through your King James Concordance, you'll find that it's mentioned over 20 different times. And there's 3 different derivatives of the Hebrew word. The first one meaning apostasy or turning away. And that's probably the one that we generally would think about. But also it comes from this Hebrew word shobab, which means idolatrous or heathenish. It comes from another Hebrew word, sarah, which means rebellious, revolter or stubborn, and really refers to the nation of Israel's sliding back on their relationship with the Lord God Jehovah. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 6, the last part of that verse, the Bible says this: hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Many people, when you talk about backsliders, erroneously believe this. They believe wrongly that a backslider is someone who was once saved and now has slid back and is no longer saved. I want to let you know this morning, that is not a correct definition of backslider. Once we are saved, once we are born again, we're saved from here, from all eternity, thank God, because of his wonderful grace that he has bestowed upon us. So a backslider then is one who the Bible says is filled in his own way. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 31, we find these words: therefore shall they eat of the fruit, notice this, of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. So we could say a biblical definition of a backslider is someone who eats the fruit of their own way and is filled with their own devices. That means simply this: they don't care what God has to say. They don't care what the Word of God has to say. They're going to do whatever they want and say whatever they want to say. And this means truly that they'll be governed by their own flesh and by their own desires. That is an accurate definition of a backslider. God also had said that the nation of Israel had been backslidden. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 6, in part, we find these verses: and their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. And in Jeremiah 14 and verse 7, in that prayer of Jeremiah, he cries out and says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. So according to the scriptures now, not according to what this pastor has to say, not according to what you may or may not think, understand this: it is possible for a person to backslide on God. It's possible for a nation to backslide on God. And so as I thought about this, a person backsliding on God, a nation backsliding on God, I want us to look here in Proverbs 14 and verse number 4 as we think on this thought of just a moment, how to become a backslider. How to become a backslider. Let's stand as I give respect to the reading of God's word in Proverbs 14, just one verse. In verse number 14, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning. Oh, Father, I know that in my flesh I cannot preach this message that you have laid upon my heart for your people this morning. Oh, Father, I pray as we learn how to become a backslider, as we learn, Father, then the consequences of being a backslider, then, Father, as we finish up understanding this matter, that we don't have to stay a backslider if we find ourselves in that spiritual condition. Oh, Father, I pray for the hearts and minds of your people that are gathered here this morning. May the Holy Spirit of God have free reign and free course in their hearts, Father. May the Holy Spirit do a great work in their hearts, Father, as your people surrender to you this morning. So, Father, we just love you and we thank you. We pray, Father, for that one that could be here, Father, that it's really not a backslider because they never have been saved, never trusted in Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that this might be the morning they understand that they're a sinner and Jesus Christ has died for them. And, Father, if they only put their faith and trust in him, they could be called the Son of God. So, Father, I pray now that you'll bless, Father, speak to hearts, challenge us as we think on this thought of how to become a backslider. So, Lord, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. If you're taking notes this morning, Roman numeral number one would simply be this: how to become a backslider. How to become a backslider. If the Bible clearly tells us that the nation of Israel can backslide, if people can backslide, my thought was simply this: how do we become a backslider? Not that we want to be one, but let's take a look at this thought: how to become a backslider. Number one way is by quit attending church. I told you the outline was going to be easy this morning for you to write down. Quit attending church. You say, well, how can I become a backslider by quit attending church? Quite simply because God's word tells us we ought to attend church in Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. He said we ought to attend and exhort one another by our attendance here at the house of God. If you want to become a backslider, just quit coming to church. Allow everything else get in your life to get in the way of you coming to church. Maybe company comes over to your house. Maybe your job. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe you have feelings against someone here in the church. Listen, just don't allow those things to keep you at the house of God. I'm reminded of Ephesians 3 and verse 21 when the Bible said, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As I think about Paul writing that to the church at Ephesus, I'm understanding this verse as a way of application. Understand this, that we are the church. The church is not Sharon Baptist Church. We are the church. The people who are saved, born again, have voluntarily come together to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and have been scripturally baptized by immersion. That is the church. The church is me and you. Those who make up the local New Testament church are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that, we are to give him honor and give him glory. So how, according to this verse, unto him be the glory in the church. How can there be glory in the church? Only if you and I don't quit glorifying the Lord. That happens. When we think about becoming a backslider, number one, we think about quit attending church. How to become a backslider, number two, quit reading your Bible. You know, God's word is inspired and it's infallible. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17 tells us that it's profitable for doctrine, for understanding, instruction, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17, he says this, that the man of God may be perfect, in other words, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we are perfect, complete in Jesus Christ. We're furnished, we're equipped unto all good works that God would have us to do. You want to be a backslider, stop reading your Bible. As a matter of fact, God's word is light according to Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here's our problem is we try to use everything else in the world to be a lamp and a light other than the word of God and Jesus Christ himself. If you want to become a backslider, just quit reading your Bible. Start reading some nonfiction. Start reading some fiction. Start reading magazines and newspapers. Listen, watch some videos on the internet. Watch YouTube and Netflix. Just browse the internet. Stay on social media so it keeps you from reading the Word of God. But don't read your Bible. If you want to be a backslider, just stop reading your Bible. Make up some excuse. Maybe you can justify it in your mind by saying, listen, I'm just too busy to read God's word. Maybe you have other things you have to do. Maybe you need to shovel the snow, change the oil in your car, no matter what it is. Maybe you have children that you need to attend to. Maybe your spouse is a needy spouse, and that takes up a lot of your time. Maybe you say this, that I can't read very well. Maybe you say that I can't read at all. Listen, that's no excuse with all the digital Bibles that we have today. The audio versions are there for us. Listen, if you want to be a backslider, right or wrong God, just stop reading your Bible, and you can count it very long, you'll be a backslider for God. Number three, what you can do is quit praying to the Lord. You see, our prayer is our communication with the Heavenly Father. Not only is it communication with Him, but I liken it to be as well as petitioning Him for the needs of others and the needs of ourselves. You know, we should practice that daily. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that men ought always to pray and to faint not. That word faint literally means this: don't lose heart. Just keep at it. And if you want to become a backslider, understand this morning, just quit praying to the Lord. Just stop it. Don't talk to anyone else ever about the Lord. Just memorize some prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. Thank God for the food that we're going to eat, whatever that might be. Talk about prayers. Talk to people about prayer, but don't pray yourself. Tell people that you pray, but don't pray. I want you to understand this morning that you could easily become a backslider. Stop praying to the Lord. I think when we look at these three things that we first started looking at, I think there's a pattern that's laid out that I've seen down through the time of my being saved, that happens. Number one, if you want to be a backslider, you stop reading your Bible. Just stop reading the Bible. That happens first. And if you don't read your Bible, guess what? You're probably not going to pray unless you're praying at the meal because you don't want to choke on the food. But literally, if you're not reading your Bible, then probably you're not praying. And then guess what? It's not very long before you're not attending church. So I want to caution you. You say, am I a backslider this morning? I don't know if you're a backslider. I know if I am. I don't even know if my wife is a backslider. But what I do know is simply this: if you're not reading your Bible, you're probably not praying, and eventually, guess what's going to happen? Your church attendance is going to fail. Well, if you want to be a backslider, number four, quit fellowshipping with God's people. Quit fellowshipping with God's people. You know, fellowship brings us strength. It brings us comfort. It brings us encouragement to all those who are saved and born again. I like fellowshipping with God's people. And when we quit fellowshipping, guess what? It's a road to a quick time of being labeled a backslider. When you fellowship with the Lord, guess what? It ensures our fellowship with other people. You know, when I'm in fellowship with God where I ought to be, I have no problem fellowshipping with everybody else. But if you want to be a backslider, just stop fellowshipping with people, quit spending time with God's people, and guess what happens? You sometimes think this: well, when I'm around them, they just bring conviction upon my heart. You know, the light does rebuke the darkness. That's what Christ taught us, amen, in His Word. And so sometimes we say, I don't want to be around that person because they're just too spiritual for me. Let me help you. If you think that way, or that thought has crossed your mind, or you don't like spending time with them because all they talk about is the Bible, all they want to talk about is Jesus, all they want to do is soul win and witness to people, guess what? You're probably labeled a backslider. Quit fellowshipping with God's people. Number five, quit trying to live righteously. If you want to be a backslider, just stop trying to live a righteous life. You know, as a saved person, you and I are to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And that's what Titus tells us in chapter 2 and verse number 12. He says, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. This is how we're going to do that. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I thought about that. Boy, what a wonderful truth that is there for us. If we are going to deny ungodliness, if we're going to deny worldly lust, we're going to have to live righteously. We're going to have to live godly in this present world. I'm reminded of Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 33. It really teaches us this great thought, is that we ought to put Him first in everything. And He said, if you put me first, He said, I'll take care of everything else. But let me help you this morning. If you want to become a backslider, quit living righteously. Quit seeking God's kingdom first and put yourself in place of God. Put your things in place of what this world has to offer you. Never mind that God's words tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, if you want to be a backslider, just say anything that you want to say. Don't control your tongue. Don't just watch whatever you want to watch on the television, on the radio. Just live just like the ungodly world does. And guess what? You'll become a backslider very quickly. Moving on, if you want to be a backslider, quit allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Quit allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. The command in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18 is that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's not a suggestion. It's not something that we ought to do if we feel like it. We ought to be filled. It's a command of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does desire to lead us. He desires to guide us, and thank God for this. He does desire to teach and help us to develop Christian principles and Christian truth inside of our life. But understand this morning, if you're hell-bent on becoming a backslider, don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Close up your ears. Become dull of hearing. Shut your eyes. Become spiritually blind. Harden your hearts. Have no love for the brethren, no love for the lost, no love for the work and the ministry of the local New Testament church. Go ahead and stiffen your neck. Become hard-hearted. Be filled with your own ways. Be filled with your own flesh. And I can guarantee you this, you're knocking on the door of becoming a backslider. Something else you can do if you want to become a backslider is quit serving the Lord. Quit serving the Lord. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15 really teaches us this, that you and I are to live for Jesus Christ. In fact, according to Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." I'm reminded of what Paul writes to that carnal church in Corinth in chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, "We are laborers together. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Listen, if you want to become a backslider, quit serving the Lord. Just let everybody else do all the work and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church. Just go ahead and take a back seat, not literally in the church, but take a back seat in the work and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church. If you've been elected for a job and you volunteered to do a job, just serve half-heartedly. Just do it just sloppy. Don't do it to the honor and glory of the Lord. As a matter of fact, don't ever volunteer. And if someone asks you, just say, "No, I'm not interested in that. I'm going to quit serving the Lord because I want to become a backslider." Well, if you want to be a backslider, quit carrying your troubles to the Lord. Quit carrying your troubles to the Lord. You know, we're to cast all our cares upon him in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. And I think the appropriate wording in that passage is this: all your cares upon him. Just not what you think you can deal with, what you think you can handle, what the government's going to help you with, what mama's going to help you with. But understand this, we're to cast all our cares upon the Lord. Understand Hebrews 13:6 says the Lord is our helper. Listen, we don't need mama, we don't need the government, we don't need anybody else. We have the Lord to be our helper. And 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9 tells us this, that he is our strength. And we find here that Paul was speaking about the thorn in the flesh that he went to the Lord three different times for. And he said this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He understood where the power was from. He understood who the helper was. He understood who's the one that he could cast all his cares upon. Thank God for that. If you want to become a backslider, let me help you this morning. Just stop carrying all your troubles to the Lord. Gripe about them to yourself. Hey, gossip to someone else about your troubles and throw in somebody else's troubles. Try to solve all your problems yourself. Just don't bother the Lord with those kind of problems. Tell the whole world about your problems. Listen, if you do that, you'll find out that you'll become a backslider. Well, if you want to become a backslider, not only stop carrying your troubles to the Lord, but how about this? Quit tithing. You know, tithing is God's way of supporting his work and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church. Proverbs 3 and 9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase." If you want to become a backslider on God, listen, just stop tithing. Just give here and there. Give every once in a while. Give 1% to 9%, but don't give 10% of what you have promised to God. Don't be faithful in your forward by faith. Don't be faithful in your grace giving for the work of worldwide mission. Just give whatever you want, and I can promise you this, that you will be labeled a backslider in the eyes of God. Well, if you want to be a backslider, how about this? Quit witnessing and visiting those who need Christ. You know, we ought to be a witness in all the world, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And like what Jesus said, as we go out and be a witness in the world, that we ought to be a light, and we ought to actually be salt and light, according to Matthew 5 and verse number 16. So if you want to become a backslider, let me help you this morning. Quit visiting. Don't visit those that have need. Don't witness to those that need Jesus as their personal Savior. Don't go on visitation. Just let people die in their sin, and don't even let it bother you one little bit. So here's the truth this morning. If you want to become a backslider, it's very easy to become a backslider. In fact, let me help you this morning. It's easier to become a backslider than to keep from becoming a backslider. But if you insist on becoming a backslider this morning, I want you to know that there's some consequences to your backsliding. You say, well, Pastor Carroll, what is the consequences of my backsliding? I think, first of all, you'll be like David. Number one, you'll lose the joy of your salvation. You know, David lost the joy of God's salvation after his sin with Bathsheba. And he cried out to God. He said, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Now listen, you might not have ever committed adultery, but there is no doubt, because I live in the flesh just like you live in this flesh, that there has been times when you have done something that you known was wrong, and you haven't yet confessed it to our Heavenly Father. You haven't went and asked to be forgiven for that sin, and it weighs down on you, and it drags you down, and there's no longer a spring in your step, there's no longer a song on your lips, there's no longer a testimony that you're giving to a lost and dying world. Sin takes and robs the believer of the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how does joy come? I think joy comes by being obedient to Christ, by obeying Christ, by being obedient to Christ. Our joy is found in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, some of the most joyful Christians that I know are the ones who I know are in their Bible day in and day out. And they gladly witness when opportunities come. They want to serve him. They love him. Their whole being is complete in Jesus Christ. And because of that, they want to serve him wholeheartedly. Well, the effect of being a backslider is you're going to lose the joy of your salvation. Let me help you here. You might not think you express this lack of joy in your life, but everybody else that you bump up against that knows the true joy of Christ and being obedient to Christ knows that there's something wrong in your life and something is not where it needs to be in your life. So you may fool the pastor, you may fool your husband, your wife, your children, your fellow sisters and brothers in the Lord. You are not fooling the Lord. He knows and understands. Well, you'll lose the joy of your salvation. Second thing is you lose peace of mind. You lose your peace of mind. You know, I think when you begin to become a backslider, I think one of the results of being a backslider is you begin to worry more than ever. You're fearful of people. You're fearful of places. You're fearful of things. Understand this, that when you have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, you're reminded that Jesus tells us in John 16 and verse 33, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. And when we find that we're exhibiting the effects of backsliding in our life, we lose the joy of our salvation. We lose the peace that God gives us. Then thirdly, notice this. You lose your usefulness as a witness and worker. You lose your usefulness as a witness and a worker. See, here's the truth. Your inconsistency will kill your testimony. That's what Paul was worried about. Paul was worried about being put on the shelf. He was worried about becoming a castaway. And your inconsistency in your daily walk among those co-workers and family and friends and those that you know will kill your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. James tells us, if you're not careful, you'll become unstable in all your ways. Paul, again, was worried about becoming a castaway. You'll become a castaway. In other words, you'll be put on the shelf and God can no longer use you because you're backslidden in your ways. But listen, you don't have to become those things. You don't have to be a castaway. You don't have to be unstable in all your ways. God can use you and God wants to use you if you're willing to be used of God and not willing to become a backslider. Well, the effects of being a backslider, notice number four, is you'll lose your closeness to Christ. And I think of all the things that we experience, this is one of the one I think that affects us the most. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. To the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter number 1. When we think about losing our closeness to Christ, you'll see him as a distant person that's afar off. 1 John 1, we'll begin reading verse 5 in just a moment. Christ will become a doctrine to you, for you to believe. But listen, but not a companion to face life with. So in other words, you'll look out and know that Christ is there, but he's not near to you. He's not a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you can be close to Christ. Notice 1 John 1, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says, 1 John 1 and verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So when you think about this, that you can be close to Christ. But listen, it doesn't depend upon him. It depends upon you. It depends if you want to walk in darkness of your sin or walk in the lightness of having your sin forgiven. And so if you're not careful as a backslider, you're going to lose that closeness that you have with Christ. And number 5, notice you'll lose your appreciation for the church. You'll lose your appreciation for the church. You know, you'll lose your appreciation for the house of God. I'm so thankful for the house of God, this building, this campus that God has given us. You have given down through the years, and you have actually given blood, sweat, and tears to make this building be what it is. Thank God for that. But listen, as you begin to backslide on God, you begin to lose your appreciation for Sharon Baptist Church. You begin to lose appreciation for God's people, for the man of God, perhaps even for the work of God. And to get to the place where you think, well, I'm not going down to that church. There are a bunch of hypocrites down there at Sharon Baptist Church. Nobody loves me. And you begin to have that kind of feeling and have a pity party for yourself. But listen, and God's conviction in your life, if you're not careful, will turn to hatred for the house of God, for the people of God, for the man of God, and for the work of God. That's why the Bible speaks about the root of bitterness. It's just the beginning, and it swells up to become a big oak tree inside of you, just blooming out. And if you're not careful, you'll find that bitterness will turn to hatred for the things of God. And you find yourself, and you say, I'm in a backslidden condition. You're going to lose appreciation for the church. David said in Psalm 122 in verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen. Boy, I don't have it quoted exactly right, but I love the psalmist David when he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And I forget the rest of the verse. But understand this, that I just reminded this one little young lady at my church in Pennsylvania where I was the pastor at. Her name was Renee. You know what? Renee was a little slower than most people was, but she loved the Lord. She loved the Bible. You know what she did without even asking? Every morning, her dad would be in charge of the donuts. See, we were Baptists, and we had donuts before church every day, amen? That was a wonderful thing, by the way. Donuts and coffee and orange juice, you know? But she would come early because her dad would come early with the donuts. You know what she would do? She'd stand at the door. And all she did was open the door with that big smile that she'd have. She'd say, good morning, thank you for coming to church. Nobody asked her to do that. Listen, she was excited. Listen, she wasn't backslidden. She loved the Lord. She loved the house of God. She loved ministering to God's people. That was her job. She did it every Sunday morning. As people came into the house of the Lord, you know what? When you begin to be backslidden on God, you'll lose appreciation for the church. But then notice something else. You'll lose concern for yourself, your family, and your friends. And you maybe have this kind of attitude. Who cares? I don't care about this. I got my own problems. My life is the only one that really counts. I'm the one that's got to make it through here day in and day out. And so we have this attitude of who cares about all these problems? Who cares about helping a hurting brother? Who cares about meeting the need of someone who has a great need in their life? You see, here's the truth. A saved person is to have love and concern for the lost of this world. The Apostle Paul, turn into your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 9. Let's see how much concern the Apostle Paul had for the lost. Look at Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. The Bible said in Romans 9, beginning verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know, when you parse this out, you begin to really understand this. Paul is saying, God, if the nation of Israel could be saved, if I could just die and go to hell, if you would save all the rest of the nation of Israel, I'd be willing to do that. And I thought about that. Boy, I can't remember me ever having some kind of prayer like that to the Lord. Lord, I'd be willing to go to hell if you just save my family. Now, understand, I know I cannot go to hell. I'm saved. I'm born again. I can't go to hell if I wanted to go there. But understand this. I don't think I ever had that desire. I had a desire to pray something like this, Lord, would you do whatever it takes to see my loved one saved? And in praying that prayer, I meant with them, with family, with myself, whatever it takes. But never did I pray this, Lord, send me to hell and save my relatives. You know, Apostle Paul did that. That's the kind of love that we ought to have, the love and concern we ought to have for the lost. And listen, when you're backslidden, you don't care about the lost. You don't even care about your own self. So let me ask you this question, church. What kind of love and concern do you have for the lost? You know, in just another month or two, we'll be firing back up again our soul winning visitation on Saturday mornings. How much concern and love do you have for the lost that you'd be willing to go out and hang those door hangers and knock on those doors? Well, the effects of being backslider, notice something else. We'll lose spiritual vision. We'll lose our spiritual vision. You know, we don't care if anything ever gets done for the Lord. You live on the past blessings. You look back and say, thank God in 2001, boy, we did a great thing for the Lord, and 200 people got saved and baptized 50 people. We'll look back at that. We'll look at where we're at today, and we'll say, you know what? Well, you know, 60, 80, 100, or 10, 15, or 20 on the buses, that's not bad, is it, Pastor? We can live with that. You'll be satisfied with the status quo. You'll be against any changes, whether those changes are for the good or whether for the bad. Understand this, that a saved person ought to have a vision of doing more personally for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ought to be enlarging the ministry that God has given you, accomplishing bigger and greater things for His honor and for His glory. Proverbs 29 and 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. I know in the context is speaking about prophetic visions, divine revelation received by the prophets, but listen, no longer are those visions for us today. The gift of prophecy is done away with, the gift of visions is done away with, because we have the completed Word of God in our life. But every time we read the Word of God, it should give us some vision each time we read it. A vision of a lost and dying world that's going to hell. The vision of the price that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary's cross. A vision of the judgment seat of God for the saved and born again. And then we think about a vision that we're commanded to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout all the world. We'll lose our spiritual vision when we find that we're a backslider. And then notice this. So far we saw how to become a backslider. We saw the effects of being a backslider. If we were to leave right now, you'd say, well, Pastor Carroll, that's terrible. Boy, I think I'm a backslider. I see the effects of backsliding in my life. But notice number three this morning, the remedy for the backsliding condition. Number one, realize your condition. Nobody has to tell you this morning if you're backslidden or not. Boy, you can just look at the first two points and understand whether you find yourself in a backsliding condition. Listen, it takes no discipline. It doesn't take any strength to be a backslider. We said earlier, it's very easy to move from a Christian on fire for the Lord to being in a backsliding condition. Realize the condition. Ask God to reveal it to you. No doubt the Holy Spirit right now is saying, you know what? You might not be the biggest backslider that ever walked this earth, but I guarantee you what, there's some of these things that you find in your life to know to be true. Realize your condition. Number two, return from your backslidden ways. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12, the last part of that verse says this, "Return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I will not fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep anger forever." So basically, God is telling Jeremiah to tell the nation of Israel, he said, listen, come back to me. Turn back from your backsliding ways. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll show you mercy. And I'll not keep my anger forever with you. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the Lord's good side, amen. I want to be counted on the side of God that God loves, and he could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want God to look down and say, well, there's one of my backslidden servants, and we're going to be dealing with him. Listen, return back to him. Come back to him. So realize your condition. Return from your backslidden ways. And thirdly, repent of your sin. Because that's what it is. If you find yourself in a backslidden condition or those ways are affecting you, understand this, you are in sin. And of course, thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we'll do that, this promise in Jeremiah, although indicated to the nation of Israel, is applicable today for you and I, that he'll show us mercy and that he'll not keep his anger on us forever. Then lastly, not only repent of your sin, but notice this, receive Jesus as master of your life. Receive Jesus as master of your life. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Carroll? I simply mean this, that when you surrender yourself to God, you make him the king of your heart. That's what it literally means, that he is a number one person in your life. Boy, I wish more of you could have took some of our college classes on last week. I was able to sit in the college class, we learned about Colossians, how we're complete in him. Thank God for it. I'm inspired that I might teach the book of Colossians. That so fired me up about the book of Colossians. It was very exciting to work through that with the students, amen, as Pastor James taught. And we're complete in him. We don't need anything else. He's all we need. That's it. He's there. And so you make him the king of your heart. Now, if you'll make him the king of your heart, he'll be the king of your money, your finances, your family, your friends, your work, your ministry. Listen, make him the king of your life. And I think that's where a lot of us have fallen, that he once was the king, and we call him the king, but in reality in our life, he's no longer the king of kings, no longer the Lord of lords. True, he's our Savior if you're saved and born again, but he doesn't hold that high place of righteousness inside of our lives. And because of that, we'd have to say that we are backslidden. Maybe you saw yourself in this sermon somewhere today. Perhaps the Holy Spirit of God, even right now, is speaking to your heart. Maybe he wants you to realize the condition that you're in. Maybe he's urging you to return back from your backsliding ways. Maybe he's urging you to repent of your sin and receive Christ as the Lord over your life this morning. If that's the case, don't delay. Come back to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.